weekly City Hall update. Mayor, how are you today?
So far, so good, but it's early, Joe.
And unfortunately, there's more snow on the way.
Yeah, it looks like it could get a little messy, too.
Yes.
Switching over. Yeah, snow to rain to snow, I guess. I don't, although they're not talking about a lot, so we'll see.
Just the timing is not ideal.
That correct.
Almost yeah. Never is, though, right?
That's for sure.
Thankfully, it was a nice, although chilly night for your state of the city last night at Quincy High School. Huge, standing room only crowd, Mayor.
Yeah, it was a great evening. I'm so grateful for the people of Quincy to turn out and, you know, hear what we're thinking about for the next year and a little update on matters. And, you know, I get a chance to talk to a number of folks afterwards in the reception area. It's always good to be connected with the people I serve.
Yes, quite a few topics to dissect, but I thought we could maybe focus on just a few of them this morning, if that's okay.
Sure.
Notably, I thought, anyway, was the plans to perhaps have the city purchase Eastern Nazarene College.
Yes, I think it's something that's very doable. Obviously, the city council would be involved in that and have to approve it. But the ENC campus is very interesting. There are a number of, a lot of it's in the starters, it's in the flood zone. And then we've got some sections that are in actually wetland protection. And we have some water issues, flooding issues in that area. So one, I think we could do some things environmentally and help us with flood relief. Two is the gymnasium's in damn good shape. And it's got an athletic field right next to it. So I think between Quincy College and City Recreation, we probably could use that. The college right now rents out school buildings across the city for their gymnasium use for the basketball team and other uses. So this could be dedicated to their schedule and then other community uses there. I think the library is fantastic, that perhaps maybe we look at that becoming a branch library. There's all kinds of possibilities here, Joe. There's a number of old buildings that probably should come down, and you know, there's some other buildings that are probably worth saving. I know we have a shortage in you know, daycare, after school daycare, preschool. You know, I want to look at that. I'd like to see more 55 and over communities in the city. I'd like to look at that. So we'll pull together a number of meetings. We'll get people involved. We'll kind of weigh things and see how we can maybe cobble some different sources of money to make it work. As I said last night, Joe, this is a once in a lifetime. You know, they ain't making more land, as somebody once said. And, you know, that it is surrounded, that property, by single-family neighborhood. And I'd hate to see anything. If somebody came in, a developer with deep pockets, you know, they could fight us and push us, maybe end up in land court and get something we don't want. You know, and there's other negative possibilities that could go in there. So I think it'd be, you know, people always say after the fact, oh, why didn't we do more? Why didn't do something? This is one of those moments we should do something. And, you know, you're paying for something for the next 30 or 40 years in a note. So you don't have to come up with this big number right at once. So I just think it's absolutely positively worth looking at, and I hope we get great community engagement on it.
Do you envision purchasing the entire, I think it's 21-acre property?
Yes.
Okay.
And now, after the fact, yep. Maybe we partner with a developer to get what we want for 55 and over. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here.
Mm-hmm. And you'd said that the college has been informed, so are they interested in...
I had a meeting with the college a few weeks back. Certainly the chairman of the board, their legal team, and others, and we discussed the possibility, and we're having appraisal done right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask about, obviously, how much that might cost.
Yeah, we don't know yet. Waiting for the appraisal.
Okay. And what would be the kind of the funding process going forward if that were to happen?
Well, that's what I need to take a deep dive into. I think there's probably some different sources of money we could use for this.
Sure.
I mean, community preservation monies perhaps, hotel tax monies perhaps, because I think those categories would fit in a purchase like this. So the goal would be not everything against the general fund. In fact, the college could probably pay for the portion of the gym. I mean... I think their appraisal was somewhere between 30 and 40 million. I think that's crazy. I don't think that'll never happen. So waiting for our appraisal, a realistic appraisal, And then we'll take it from there.
Okay, very interesting. You also spoke, we've talked about this before, retrofitting the Dela Keys Early Childhood Center to help alleviate some overcrowding at Lincoln Hancock.
Yes, as we talked about, we've got a number of kindergarten classrooms in the hallways of Lincoln Hancock because the enrollment there is so robust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Dela Keys are those kids being shifted to the Christopher Farrow Learning Center this past year. You know, the building needs some work. It was built probably 30 years ago, but the mechanicals, you know, need major updating. So we're in the process of putting a spec together that will go out to bid. We'll get a real number, and then we'll go to the city council with a real number of what it will be. And I'm guessing it's probably going to be anywhere between $3 and $5 million, Joe, to get that up to snuff. But then that would alleviate the overcrowding in Lincoln Hancock, and then it would allow us some new additional pre-K classes. We have a long list, wait list for that possibility for families as well. So put it back to use.
And in that same paragraph, taking substantive steps toward the long-term goal to create a new elementary for West Quincy at the former St. Mary School.
Yes, we have already started the process. So we went out and an RFP, and we hired a project manager, if you will, for the site. Next step is then an architect just to do some basic images, massing, and then we'll go into the school building authority process once again. I don't think we'll be successful out of the box because we have Squanum School right now we're in the middle of construction of, but I want to get all our ducks in a row so that when we will apply each year, like we did before, Squanum took, I think, 4 years before we got accepted into the process, and that's because we had Southwest that was active at the time. So I'm realistic and practical, but certainly, you know, the state program picking up 50% to 60% of the cost would be huge. I do think, and the school committee has the say on what the project will be. Obviously, the council has the say to approve the money or not. We've talked about a new elementary school, and I believe everybody would agree with that. And I'm not speaking for my colleagues, but going back a couple of years, we had a lot of discussion about that. Montclair School is where the kids from West Quincy go. That's probably the longest hike anybody takes going to school in our city for elementary. So I think that that would be nice to do a new elementary. Not only the distance, but, Joe, we've spent a lot of time and money rehabbing Montclair, using every nook and cranny. Because we, you know, it's a very robust enrollment at Montclair. So this should help Montclair. It could help Lincoln Hancock. And, you know, at that point, the school committee may look at redistricting, adjusting the lines or not. I know that just based on the need now, we could support a new elementary school for that part of our city.
Mm-hmm. I know that the fire department uses it for training purposes now. Would they need to find a new training site?
Well, we'll talk about that. They didn't have one before we had that site. Right. That was an interim temporary location. So, you know, perhaps that can go down the shipyard with our mechanical bays and shop. But we'll, you know, one step at a time.
Sure. Speaking of firefighters, purchasing two new sets of chemical-free turnout gear, Mayor.
Yes, that's the goal. We've been working very hard on this. I want to thank Tom Bowes, the president of Local 792, who's really been on this from day one. Think about that, Joe. Mm-hmm. Think about, you know, we buy gear and equipment to protect our firefighters because of the conditions they have to enter. And the gear itself had PFAS chemicals and forever chemicals, which cause cancer. We have a number of guys that have had occupational cancer, and I know a couple of them personally who are out now battling that. It's astonishing to me, number one, and not acceptable. So we'll continue the fight legally on trying to get money or reimbursement, whatever the case may be. But I don't believe we should make these guys wait one more day to get the appropriate equipment so they don't have to worry about getting cancer from the clothes they have on just to do their job. It's outrageous.
So the city was able to find a safe gear?
Yes, actually the fire department and the union representatives, they did some traveling, and they have found the right gear, safe gear. So we're happy about that. That was a challenge, but we've got a company now that that can produce it. They're on the state bid list. Mm-hmm. So just waiting for the fire chief to give me a final number, and then I will go to the city council for approval.
Oh, very good. Also last night, Mayor, you spoke about consolidating the emergency dispatch systems into the new public safety complex. How would that work?
Yeah, it's a touchy subject.
Yes, I know.
We're still in negotiations with the fire department.
Right.
As you know, right now, we have 911 system at the police station. We have a fire department room. They monitor the calls, and they take they send trucks out based on what they hear, mm-hmm. whether it's medical, fire, etc. Brewster, our 911 center right now, when it's a medical, they transfer the call to Brewster, and then Brewster people get more information, and they dispatch an ambulance. I think having everything in one room, everyone talking to each other, I believe that the response times would be even better, communication would be better, and would be more efficient at what we do.
Yeah, I know you talked about how that might even improve insurance rates if you reduce response times.
Well, actually, the insurance rates are a combination of everything. So all the work we've done with the fire department, adding more manpower, the new equipment, all the water main work we've done, they look at everything, number of hydrants, how many men you got on a piece of equipment, all of those things come into play. So all of those improvements we made come into play in that decision. And I know the interim chief, Gary Smith's working on that now to send the letter to the ISO and go into that process. That could save some serious money for homeowners insurance.
Sure. As I understand, actually, the communications for the police is moving over to the new building today.
Yes, they've the first roll call in the new building will be today.
Ah.
4 o'clock. So I know the chief and the staff, everyone's pretty excited. We'll continue to work on the punch list. Every project, especially a major project, there are issues to deal with, whether it's scratches on the wall or, you know, whatever the case may be, a lot of minor issues that they'll work through while we're in there. You know, it's everybody's excited about it. I've run into detectives, officers, and they can't believe the building. I mean, but, you know, you have to understand where they're coming from, why they're so excited. I mean, that old building has been a dump for a long time, Joe. Dump's a probably too light a word for it, but looking forward to getting rid of that building and then finish up the corner. Beautiful building, efficient building. It's got everything they need kind of going forward to serve the people of the city. And even for people coming into the public safety headquarters, Joe, it's far more friendly, and they have rooms dedicated to people, so you're standing in the lobby with other people and everyone hearing your business. Mm-hmm. I mean, the old place, again, was inefficient, a dump, and not professional. This meets all the standards, so I'm excited about it.
Finally, Mayor, you spoke about the creation of the Adams Presidential Center / Performing Arts Center, again, at the Monroe Building property.
Yes, as you know, we've been talking about both of these issues for a couple of years, Joe.
Yep.
We bought the Monroe Building a couple of years ago, well, more than that now, I guess, with federal dollars. That was about a $15 million purpose. So we already have property in hand. The location is really three-sided, faces Hancock Street, Hancock Adams Common, as well as the T station, the Quincy Center station. The location really is perfect. You know, both for transit, but also opening up again on the Hancock Adams Common. We believe that we could do this in one building under one roof. Mm-hmm. Performing Arts Center we're not designed yet. We've got some images. We've engaged an architectural firm merely to get this off the ground so that when we have community meetings, when we have committee meetings, we'll have something to work with. It's a lot easier when you have some pictures, some dimensions, and ideas than to discuss. So that process has begun as far as creating the images and getting some basics down. And then, of course, we'll put together, we'll reconstitute the group we had before COVID. Everything collapsed, but that was one of the areas we're looking at as far as the Quincy 400 goes. So Performing Arts Center, it's not going to be a typical auditorium style, because we don't want to restrict ourselves. We've had a number of experts in, Joe, who've said you want to do a flat floor with perhaps in the back some balcony or mezzanine. But that allows you to use that space for all kinds of uses. So it's not restricted purely for, you know, a show or a movie. The slope floors really restrict you. So, you know, if you have, for example, if you have a, I know we've talked about this in the past, but you have a professional comedian come in, you don't people need to be at high tops, and, you know, it's a better situation. If we're having an event for the, say, the Adams Presidential Center, you could actually have a dinner or a gala right in the same building in that space. So we're trying to be mindful not to restrict ourselves, to keep it as versatile really as possible, to do as much as we can with the space. And I don't view this as a space that will be, you know, 7 days a week, all professional types of things. I believe it'll be professional acts in various forms, maybe a film festivals here and there, perhaps a local dance companies could use a community use, even some of the schools when sometimes their shows are too big for the small little school auditorium, perhaps they use it for something. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And as you know, during that time period we were discussing these things, we had a pretty strong response from the public at large about we need a cultural / performing arts center. So it'll be interesting. And I know that there'll be a million ideas, and we're probably not going to be able to accommodate everybody's desires or wishes. But I think that having the basics down with some images, with some square footages, with some ideas and design, general designs, then we can go out, and I see that happening by the springtime, and start to have meetings and engage in the community and get their response. This is not going to be inexpensive. This is, you know, when you talk about those kind of uses, both the Performing Arts and the Adams Presidential Center. By the way, the Adams Presidential Center will pay for the inside of the building, if you will, whatever museums and spaces they create, that'll be part of their budget. So essentially be building the shell for them on that aspect of it. So that saves some money. And then we'll look at we've got a great grant team, Jimmy Scribby and the team. We just, as you know, last year we got a grant for $10 million for reconstruction of Southern Artery. We know there are grants out there that there's a lot of foundations to support the arts. So we'll look at all kinds of sources of money for it as well, not just the taxpayers of the city. But this will bring additional value. You know, the APC, the visitorship, you know, people go to restaurants. Same thing with the Performing Arts Center. You know, you'll have people going out to eat before and going to some of the bar rooms afterwards. So it generates additional economic activity in the downtown as well.
You sound very excited about it, Mayor.
I am. It's a great project, but lot to be done before we get to that point.
Yeah, I know we're a little over time here, but I did want to ask you just one more thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You talked a little bit about this should be a celebratory year, 250th anniversary of the nation, right? But you say the nation's mood has you a little worried. What do you mean?
Well, I remember as a kid, Joe, in 1976, the 200th anniversary. I mean, the buzz was incredible. I remember as a young person, the activities was amazing. We were talking about it for 2 years before. We lived it and talked about it 2 years afterwards. I don't feel like we as a country are doing what we should be doing for this. And I don't think we're doing it as much as we could as a Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It all started here, and we should own it. But, you know, Philadelphia's ahead of us. Virginia's ahead of us. So we're going to do everything we can with our resources to make sure we continue to tell the stories. You know, to me, and I know Joe, you, and others that are pretty active, we know the Adams story, but the younger generation doesn't. And then there's all those other stories, like we talked about last night with Joseph Farmer. We should tell those stories, and tell those stories since. And I've said it before, I said it last night, those 56 signers of the Declaration, they put everything on the line. And as I said last night, Joe, it's the first time in human history that the revolutionaries had everything to lose. These guys were doing well, but they wanted self-government, and thank God that they did what they did. They weren't perfect. They were all flawed, and I know some people dismiss them, well, some of them owned slaves, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, there are a lot of warts there, but as the APC did a great job at the church a few months back, one of the speakers spoke about, that was the beginning of the end of slavery. Slavery was around for thousands of years in every culture, but it was here in the United States that seed was planted with those guys like Adams who wanted it out but knew if we pull this country together, the original colonies, they couldn't get it perfect at the start. Eventually, it was Abraham Lincoln that created the, obviously, that saved the country, saved the Union. But and then it took decades more before, you know, black citizens enjoyed freedom and the right to vote and all those other basic rights they should have had from day one. You know, I mean, women didn't get their right to vote until the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was the start of something. It was an idea. We should celebrate that.
Anything planned in the city right now for 250 that we can talk about, Mayor?
Well, obviously the Flag Day Parade will have the 250 twist to it. We'll do the Maritime Festival at the Marina, which will have a 250 twist to it. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a music festival again at the stadium in August. There are a number of other symposiums being planned. I know we've had discussions with the superintendent about doing some special things at the school. So we're going to do everything we can with our resources to make sure people understand. You know, I think that, you know, we're a gateway city. We've been that way a long time. We've got newcomers coming at any given time, as we've talked about over the years. Any given time the past 100, 125 years, one-third of the population are immigrants. And I think we have embraced those cultures. I think we've got to remind all these cultures that come here that, hey, you know, you should learn about America. We should learn about the history of Massachusetts. Particularly kids in Quincy Public Schools should learn about the history of Quincy, Mass. Mount Wollaston, Old Braintree, right through. And we should be so proud of that history. We live in a negative time right now. I think that social media has great benefits, but I think it's been horrible for society in general. I think with the acrimony and the division in Washington doesn't help. So, you know, I'm hopeful. As you know, I love history. I'm hopeful that we can, you know, remind people this year, and hopefully people get a little excited about who we are.
To that end, President's Day Winterfest is coming up this Monday from noon to 5:30 from inside and outside City Hall, the Church of Presidents, right on the Hancock Adams Common.
Yeah, some nice little programs for people. John McDonald's put together. You know, it's a nice thing for families. I think everything is free.
It's all free.
Yeah, there we go. So something to do for kids during school, a day off in school and school vacation week. So. Yeah, I certainly encourage people to take advantage of it.
Yes, I think the weather will be fine for the ice sculptures if this continues. And the skating rink. Yeah, exactly. Sorry to keep you longer today, Mayor, but there's so much to talk about. I really appreciate it.
No problem. I enjoyed it, Joe. Have
Me
a great
too.
Day.
You too.